263. There is an instinct for rank which, more than anything, is already an indication of a high rank. There is delight in the nuances of respect which permits us to surmise a noble origin and habits. The refinement, good, and loftiness of a soul are put to a dangerous test when something goes past in front of it which is of the first rank, but which is not yet protected by the shudders of authority from prying clutches and crudities. Something that goes its way unmarked, undiscovered, tempting, perhaps arbitrarily disguised and hidden, like a living touchstone. The man whose task and practice is to investigate souls will use precisely this art in a number of different forms in order to establish the ultimate value of a soul, the unalterable innate order of rank to which it belongs. He will put it to the test for its instinct of reverence. Difference engendre haine. Difference engenders hatred. The nastiness of some natures suddenly spurts out like dirty water when some sacred container, some precious object from a locked shrine, some book with marks of a great destiny is carried by. On the other hand, there is an involuntary falling silent, a hesitation in the eye, an end to all gestures, things which express that a soul feels close to something most worthy of reverence. The way in which reverence for the Bible in Europe has, on the whole, been maintained so far, is perhaps the best piece of discipline and refinement of tradition for which Europe owes a debt of thanks to Christianity. Such books of profundity and ultimate significance need for their protection an externally imposed tyranny of authority in order to last for those thousands of years which are necessary to exhaust them and sort out what they mean. Much has been achieved when, in the great mass of people, the shallow ones and all sorts of people with diarrhea, that feeling has finally been cultivated that they are not permitted to touch everything, that there are sacred experiences before which they have to pull off their shoes and which they must keep their dirty hands off. This is almost the highest intensification of their humanity. By contrast, perhaps nothing makes the so-called educated people, those who have faith in modern ideas, so nauseating as their lack of shame, the comfortable impudence in their eyes and hands, with which they touch, lick, and grope everything. And it is possible that these days, among a people, one always finds in the common folk, particularly in the peasants, more relative nobility of taste and tactful reverence than among the newspaper-reading demi-monde of the spirit, among the educated. 264. One cannot erase from a human being's soul those actions which his ancestors loved most and carried out most steadfastly. Whether they were, for example, industrious savers attached to a writing table and money box, modest and bourgeois in their desires, as well as modest in their virtues, or whether they were accustomed to live giving orders from morning until night, fond of harsh entertainment, and, along with that, perhaps of even harsher duties and responsibilities, or whether, finally, they had at some time or other once sacrificed the old privileges of their birth and possessions in order to live entirely for their faith, their God, as men of an unrelenting and delicate conscience, which blushes when confronted with any compromise. It is in no way possible that a man does not possess in his body the characteristics and preferences of his parents and forefathers, no matter what appearance might say to the contrary. This is the problem of race. If we know something about the parents, then we may draw a conclusion about the child. Some unpleasant excess or other, some lurking envy, crude attempts at self-justification, since these three together have at all times made up the essential type of the rabble. Something like that must be passed on to the child as surely as corrupt blood, and with the help of the best education and culture, people will succeed only in deceiving others about such heredity. And nowadays, what else does education and culture want? In our age, one very much of the people, I mean our uncouth age, education and culture must basically be the art of deception, to mislead about the origin of the inherited rabble in one's body and soul. Today, an educator who preached truthfulness above everything else and constantly shouted at his students, "Be true, be natural, act as you really are," even such a virtuous and true-hearted jackass would, after some time, learn to take hold of that furca, pitchfork, of Horace, in order to naturam expellere, drive out nature. With what success? Rabble usque recurret, always returns.